What's up, everybody? We are in week three of a series called Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. First week, we talked about who Jesus is. The second week, we talked about what he is about. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about what it's got to do with us, what Jesus has to do with us. So if you got a journal, if you got a pen, if there's notes in the seat back in front of you and you want to grab those, I want to invite you to do that and get ready to take some notes, because we're going to talk about what we have to do with Jesus and what Jesus has got to do with us. So Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. If you were here in August, we preached on this exact same scripture. But here's the cool thing about the Bible. There are so many ways you can look at each particular verse and story, because God's word is alive and it continues to change us even as we read it over and over again. So we're going to read the same scripture, but look at a different aspect of it. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13, it says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he said to his disciples," which were his best friends, "who do people say the Son of Man is?" Y'all may be like, "What is he speaking in code?" Son of Man was what Jesus called himself. So he's talking about himself. He's like, what are people saying about me? What are they calling me? Like, what are people saying in the marketplace? What are people saying in town? What are people saying in the country? What are they saying about who I am? And so they start telling like the rumors, what people are saying about Jesus. They're like, "Well, some said you're John the Baptist," which was a stupid answer. That was his cousin. And a lot of times they're at the same place at the same time. So that's a dumb answer. Others say Elijah, which is also a dumb answer. He had been dead or in heaven for years. And then still others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. So basically, everybody's like, they like think you have something to do with God, like you're like a prophet or something, but they're kind of confused about who you really are. And then Jesus flips the question, and this is where we're really going to settle tonight. He says, "Okay, yeah, but what about you?" Everybody say, "What about you?" Everybody say, "What about you?" All right, he says, "What about you? Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" That's the question we're going to try to answer tonight. That's the topic. That's the title of this sermon. Who do you say I am? So he turns to his friends and he says, "Okay, I'm not worried about what everybody else says. I'm not worried about what your mama says, what your friend says, what the guy in the store says. I want to know who you say I am." So Peter steps up. This is Jesus, like one of his best friends. And he's like, "Well, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man," meaning nobody taught you this, "but God taught you this, my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock," he's not talking about Peter, he's talking about faith in Jesus, "on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or the gates of hell, "will not overcome it." So Jesus did not just ask that question to 12 disciples that day in Caesarea Philippi about 2,000 years ago. He asked that question of every single one of us. Who do you say I am? If you're here for the first time tonight, if you've been a Christian for a long time, if you're a middle schooler, or high schooler, or adult, he asks all of us this exact question. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Here's the really, really important thing that you got to realize. You are the only person who can decide who Jesus is going to be in your life. You are the only person who can decide who Jesus is going to be in your life. I can't decide for you. I can preach your ear off, and I can entertain you, and we can have the greatest ministry ever, but I cannot decide for you who Jesus is going to be. Your friend who brought you here tonight or invited you years ago cannot decide who Jesus is going to be in your life. Your parents can't decide. How many of you were like raised in church by your parents? Your parents brought you to church. That's awesome. That's a blessing, because not all of us have that privilege to be raised in church. But guess what? It doesn't matter how many times your parents brought you to church. It doesn't matter how many vacation Bible schools they sent you to, how many church camps they sent you to, how many fall retreats they sent you to, how many mission trips they sent you to. It doesn't matter how much scripture they had you memorize. It does not matter how much they want you to know Jesus. They cannot decide who Jesus is going to be in your life. They can't do it. Only you. Say, only me. Only you can decide who Jesus is going to be in your life. And here's the thing. Even Jesus can't decide for you. Now, does he have the power to make us? Yes, but that's not the way God works. That's not a relationship. Jesus will not force himself into a relationship with us. He is not a dictator. He does not force us to love him, which you can't even really do anyway. You can't force someone to love you. You can only force someone to have some type, do some type of like acts for you. But like, you cannot force someone to have a feeling or a choice towards you. And so even Jesus cannot decide who Jesus is going to be in your life. Only you can. A lot of power in that soul of yours. A lot of power in that mind and that heart of yours. Only you can decide who Jesus is going to be in your life. So I'm going to ask you the question, and this is what we're going to talk about tonight. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? I want you to think about the claims that Jesus made. And even if you're not like really like a Bible scholar, you're like, I don't really know anything about the Bible. Listen, like you know some of the claims he made. Jesus said he was one with God. He said he was the Son of God. He said he could forgive sins. Like, I want you to think about that. Not like what you did to him or what you did to your friend. He said he could forgive all sins. He said he could heal. He said that he had come to fulfill the entire Old Testament. He said that he came from heaven and that he would return to heaven. He said he was eternal. Like, he said there was no beginning to him and there would be no end. That he was and is God. He said that he is a king. I want you to keep this in mind. This was a poor nobody from the country. He said he was the king, not just the king of the Roman Empire or of a certain nation. He was the king of the world. He's the king. He's the king. And that he had a kingdom that would never end. Never. Not it would last a few hundred years like America. No. Not it would last 1,000 years like the Roman Empire. That it would never, ever, ever end. These are the things he said about himself. Now, a lot of times, here's what we come to Jesus with if we don't really believe that he's God. We'll say things like this, and I've heard this a lot of times. Well, you know, Jesus, I believe he's like a good man, right? Like, I believe he's like a good teacher. I believe he's a good example. I really like some of the things that he taught. I think he teaches us about good morals. You might even say he's like a prophet or something to do with God. This is what everybody was saying about him in town. They were all like, well, I think he's like a prophet or something. But here's the thing. He never gave us that option. He never said, oh, like I'm just a good teacher. I'm just like an okay guy that's a good example to follow around. No, he said, I'm God. I'm God. I'm the Son of God. I came to forgive sins. I am a king. Here's the deal. Jesus claimed to be God and king. We either believe it or we don't. That's it. He claimed to be God and king. We either believe it or we don't. We either believe it or we don't. But we can't go around saying like, oh yeah, he's a good person. Yeah. I think, you know, I like some of the stuff he said, you know, in the Bible. Like, he seems like a pretty good person. No, he's either God or he's not. That's the simple truth. And in fact, in Mark 10, verses 17 and 18, this guy comes up to Jesus and he runs up to him and he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, before he even answers the question, he says, well, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? And then he says this is really important. He says, no one is good except God. So here's what he's telling the guy. He's saying, I can't just be good. I can't just be like a good teacher. I can't just be like a good moral person or a good example. If I'm good, then I'm God. And if I'm not good, then I'm not God. Those are the only two options. See, even back then, they wanted to be like, oh, well, I think you're a good teacher. And he said, no. That's not why I came to earth. And so we have to decide whether we believe it or not. There was this guy, when did he live? Like 70, 80 years ago. And maybe you've heard his name before, but he was a British guy. His name was C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis was like an atheist. He did not believe in Jesus. He thought it was a bunch of crap. And then he started investigating it. And eventually he came to know Jesus as Lord. And he became like one of the greatest writers about Jesus in the entire 20th century. And he wrote tons of famous books, probably none that y'all have ever heard of, but just trust me, maybe later in your life, you'll probably be like, oh yeah, like I heard about that guy. One time Ryan talked about him in a sermon. But anyway, his name's C.S. Lewis. And he popularized this thing they call it a trilemma, which is basically there's three options. And he didn't make it up, but he's the one that made it famous. And he would talk about it, and he wrote it in this really famous book called Mere Christianity. And he talked about how there's basically three options when it comes to Jesus. There's three options. And I'm going to read you a quote. And remember, he's British. It's 80 years ago, so you might not understand it, but I'll kind of break it down for you. He says this: I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. He says, that is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's an egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he's a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and call him a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Now, it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend, and consequently, however strange and terrifying this might seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God. So in this little segment, he basically says, we can either say one of three things about Jesus. The first thing is this: he's a lunatic. Everybody say lunatic. So basically, Jesus is crazy. Now, interestingly enough, some people kind of thought Jesus was crazy. If you go to Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 22, he's in this house, and there's crowds around him. And it's so crowded that his disciples can't even eat a meal. And then his family hears about this, and they're like, what is Jesus doing? And they went to take charge of him, meaning they were going to take control of him because he was, as they thought, out of his mind. And they said, he's out of his mind, right? That's why we want to take charge of him. Then the teachers of the law who came from Jerusalem, they said, well, he's possessed by Satan. By the prince of demons, he's driving out demons. So basically people are like, well, he's a lunatic. He's crazy. He's crazy. I want you to imagine this. Again, remember the claims Jesus made. If you were out at the beach, it's a nice day today, right? It's a great day to go to the beach. If you're out at the beach and someone walked up to you, you know, you're laying there on your little towel, on your little Tommy Bahama chair, whatever, and someone comes up to you and they're like, hey, how you doing? That always kind of freaks me out when strangers come up to me at the beach, but because it's usually weird, right? They're usually trying to sell something to you or ask you for something or lead you to Jesus, right? So they come up to you and they're like, I am God. What would you think? What would you think? What would be going through your mind? If I'm God, hey, do y'all have any sins you want me to forgive? Is there anything you've done wrong in the past, I don't know, 18 years, 14 years? Is there anything that I can forgive you for? Here's what you would think, and here's what I would think. We would think that person is a lunatic. We would think they were crazy. So, Jesus said he was the Son of God. So if he said that, if he thought he was God, but he was not God, stay with me here. If he thought he was God, but he's not God, then he's crazy. He's out of his mind. He's crazy. Like there is no in between. There's this this professor at Boston University who basically says, like, he talks about how a type of psychological evaluation is that people think that they are God. Like this, there are people in asylums right now in America that think that they are God. And then he starts to describe what these people are like. He says usually they are all about themselves. They're like narcissists, they're egomaniacs, they're always about themselves, they can't understand other people, they can't understand other people's emotions, they can't really communicate, they just like have no, they're not in touch at all with other people. Basically, the opposite of what Jesus was like. And here's the thing, most of the time I don't hear people say, oh, Jesus was crazy. They might say they don't believe in Jesus, but they don't often come and say, well, I think Jesus was just out of his mind. I think he was a lunatic. Again, if he thought he was God, but he wasn't, he must be crazy. But here's the thing. Look at him. He seems far too sane, doesn't he? Like he had long conversations with poor people, with rich people, with uneducated people, with educated people. He had relationships with people. One of the biggest things about Jesus was that he was compassionate, that he was loving towards other people. In fact, when we look at him, there's no way he was a lunatic. There's no way that he thought he was God. He felt empathy for people. He didn't act erratically. He was very... He was consistent. And so, one option is that we think he thought he was, but he wasn't really. He was out of his mind. He's a lunatic. That's an option. The second option is that he is a liar. Everybody say liar. Liar. He must be lying. He must be lying, right? In fact, people at the time said this about him. Matthew chapter 26. This is kind of at the end of Jesus' life. Matthew chapter 26, verses 62 through 66 says this. The high priest stood up and he said to Jesus, are you going to answer? What is this testimony that they're bringing against you? The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, yes, it is as you say. But I say to you all, in the future, you will see me sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on clouds of heaven. So then the high priest tore his clothes and he said, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, we have heard blasphemy. What do you think? And they all said, he's worthy of death. So basically what they're saying is, he's not really God. He's a liar. He's a liar. We can think he's a lunatic because he said all these things, but they were not true, but he thought they were true, so he's crazy. Or we could say he is a liar. He's a liar. He must be lying. If he said he was God, think about this. If he said he was God, but he wasn't actually God, and he knew it, he is a liar. He's not a good moral person. He's not a kind friend. He's not a good teacher. He's not a good example. He would be one of the most revolting characters in the history of the world. Like, think about this. He called people to give their money towards his mission. If he knew it was a lie, that's just great. Like, that's just evil. He called people to die for him. Like, if he was lying, he's just evil. He called people to leave their livelihoods and leave behind their friends and their family to follow him. If he was lying, and he knew he was lying, how evil of a person must he have been? But here's the thing. He often showed proof of his claims. He often followed through on what he said. But also, at the end of his life, when he was threatened to die, he died. Think about it. If you made up a lie to get money, fame, fortune, followers, whatever, if you made up a lie, and it was getting you really good results, right? And then eventually, it stopped getting good results. And eventually, you were threatened with death. Most people in that situation would tell the truth. No, you got it all wrong. I've been lying for years. I'm not actually God. I mean, look, I'm just some random guy from Nazareth. I'm not actually Jesus. Or I'm not actually the Messiah. I'm just a guy. And he would have gotten off the hook, right? Someone who lies to gain something for themselves does not keep lying when they are about to die. They tell the truth because they're trying to protect themselves because it's all about themselves. So, was he a liar? I don't know. Your choice. But it doesn't really seem like it. And again, often I don't hear people going around saying, well, I just think he lied about it all. I don't think he was telling the truth. There's a third option. The third option C.S. Lewis gives to us, he says, he could be a lunatic, he's crazy. He could be a liar, he knew he wasn't God, but he just kept saying it. Or he is Lord. Everybody say Lord. Lord, Lord. It's from this Greek word, kurios, and it means master or owner. Now we hear that and we think about slavery and we're like, well, that's kind of weird. But here's what you have to understand about a Lord. Here's what you have to understand about Jesus. In this case, we are not forced to follow him. We are not forced to be under his control. We choose it. We choose it. Let me explain. Making Jesus your Lord means believing he is the Son of God and understanding that life under his authority is better than doing whatever we want. So we could think he's a lunatic. He was just crazy. We could think he was a liar. He made it all up. Or if neither of those things is true, based on what he said, the only logical alternative is that he must be telling the truth. He must be Lord. And when we make Jesus our Lord, it means that we believe he is who he says he is, but that we also understand that life under his authority is better than doing whatever we want. We realize relationships are better when I follow Jesus. Like my friendships are stronger when I just do what Jesus calls me to do. My relationships with my family, they're just better when I do what Jesus calls me to do. My decision-making is just better. Like, we all know what happens when we make our own choices. We do stupid crap and we regret it. When we follow after Jesus, rarely, it might not be easy. You might not like the results, but rarely will you regret it. you'll regret a lot of things you do. Listen to me. If you haven't already, you'll go to college and you're going to regret a lot of things you do. I promise. If you're doing what you want to do. But when you follow after Jesus, often our decisions are better. We have more purpose. We have more joy. We have more satisfaction. We find that life is just better with Jesus. I mean, look around at what people do around you. Like, sometimes we're like, oh man, they're doing all this junk and it seems like it's working out for them, but it never lasts. When you follow what you want to do, eventually it catches up to you because we are prone to making stupid, selfish mistakes. But Jesus, the way of Jesus is just better. Let me give you an example. I want you to imagine you were homeless, okay? Not in America, not in where we have like, you know, homeless ministries and a government that will take care of you or programs that will help you. Not where we have foster care for children and all those kind of things. I want you to think of a world that has none of that. You're homeless, right? And the only way you can survive is stealing, lying, and fighting. You're scrapping for everything you get. You're stealing out of grocery stores. You're stealing from people's homes. You're wearing rags. You can never take a shower. You're never safe at night. You have nowhere to lay your head. You're always keeping one eye open, hoping that someone's not going to attack you in the middle of the night. I want you to imagine this. Put yourself in that world. Everybody close your eyes. Put yourself in that world. You're homeless. You have nothing except the rags that you're wearing and maybe a backpack with a few items in it. You sleep on the beach. Or wherever you can find a little bit of shelter. You're hot in the summer, you're cold in the winter. I want you to imagine this world. And I want you to imagine after years of living that way, someone comes up to you. Some nice old couple, right? And they come up to you and they're like, hey there, slugger. Are you homeless? Do you have any place to stay? And you're like, no. Well, here's what we want to do. We want to just bring you in. We want to let you come into our home. We have a few extra rooms, and we just want you to live with us. And there's a couple house rules and everything, but just you can clean yourself up, you can have food, all that kind of stuff. And you get to their house, and it's like oceanfront property, huge mansion, and you're like, oh my gosh, like this is amazing. So you got your own room, you got a king size bed, you got food whenever you want it, you've got like high quality food, you can go out to eat when you want, all that kind of stuff, right? They're gonna educate you, they're gonna help you go to college that you want to go to, and all that kind of stuff. They get you clothes, you have your own bathroom. It's and they're not weird or anything. They're just nice people and all that kind of stuff. And like you get there and you're like, wow, this is incredible. I want you to imagine that. But there's just a couple house rules. It's like, oh, you gotta be home by 10. you gotta eat dinner together 3 times a week. I don't know, just some basic house rules, that kind of thing. I want you to think about that. Anybody that is sane or has their self-interest in mind would say yes to that deal, right? I don't have to steal anymore. I don't have to be scared anymore. I don't have to hide anymore. I don't have to fight. I don't have to wonder where my next meal's coming from. I can just be safe. I can be educated. I can have clothes. This is incredible. In that situation, we would all agree that person, that homeless person, should go and live with that nice old couple who welcomed them into their home. It just makes sense. Yeah, there's some authority that you're under, but life is better when you're with them. But here's what we often do. We have that same type of situation with Jesus, right? We have love, we have purpose, we have joy, we have eternity, we have forgiveness, we have wisdom. And often we say, well, but I want to kind of go do what I want to do. And we just go in the opposite direction. It would be like that same young homeless kid saying, you know what? I liked it more when I could just stay out all night. Never mind that I had nowhere else to go. Never mind I had no one to talk to, no safety, no food, no security, no education. But I just want to go do what I want to do. We would all call that foolish. We would call it stupid. And yet often we do it. We say, well, I want to do what I want to do. I want to kind of go in the direction that I want to go. This is what we do when it comes to Jesus. And if we don't think he's a lunatic, based on what he said, if we don't think he's a lunatic, and if we don't think he was lying, there's only one more option, that he's Lord. And to make him Lord means we realize, you know, life is just better with him. It's not easier necessarily. I don't always get what I want, but life is just better with him. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing, and I really want you to zero in on this part. We're almost done. Many people have come to this conclusion throughout history, probably many of you as well, especially in America. Many people have come to the conclusion, you know what? I don't think Jesus was a liar, and I don't think he was a lunatic. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe what the Bible says about him. And yet, they don't follow him. They don't follow him. They don't follow him. Why? Because the most common problem with Jesus being our Lord is that we want to be our own Lord. Let me say it again. The most common problem with Jesus being our Lord, even if we believe in him, I'm not even talking about belief, I'm talking about submission to him, saying, you know, I want to live under his authority. The most common problem with it is that we want to be our own Lord. I've got this friend in Jamaica. And his name's Jay, and I've known him for like 12, 13 years. Some of you might remember him. He works in the craft market. He's an artist. He's a singer. He's a few years younger than me. He's incredible. He's funny. He's good looking. He's talented. He has a lot of friends, and I love this guy. And every year when we go down there, on the last day, I go and I hang out with him, and I talk to him. And he's not a Christian. He doesn't follow Jesus. But here's the thing. Over the years, I used to be a little bit confused, but then I finally started to realize as we had more and more conversations. He believes in Jesus. Let me say that again. He believes in Jesus, but he is not a Jesus follower. He believes in Jesus, but he's not a Jesus follower. Here's why. Here's why. Ultimately, as we talk, man, I preach for a living. Like I've preached sermons to him. I've read scriptures to him. I've used illustrations. I've used object lessons. You're like, well, this water is Jesus. And I just like do all kinds of stuff. And it never works. Never works. And here's ultimately the truth. Ultimately the truth. He believes in Jesus. But here's what he says. I don't want to do what Jesus wants me to do. I'd rather live the way I want to live. I'd rather smoke and drink when I want to smoke and drink. I'd rather make the decisions that I want to make. I'd rather have relationships with who I want to have relationships with. And he's very honest. I mean, we're friends. We've known each other for more than 10 years. He's just like, I just would rather do things my own way. For better or for worse. I'd rather do things my own way. This is what many of us, maybe many of you, especially in America, have come to the conclusion of. We believe in Jesus. But we don't want to make him Lord of our lives. The most common problem with Jesus being our Lord is that we want to be our own Lord. We want to be our own God. But here's the problem. We don't actually want this. None of us really want to be God. Like, we might think we want to be God. Oh, that's great. I can do whatever I want. But even atheists, when they get into a situation they can't control, they start praying. What do you think happens when you're going down on a jet in the middle of the ocean? Everybody starts praying, right? Everybody starts praying. It doesn't matter if they're rich or poor, black or white, young or old, Christian or non-Christian. They all just start praying. Why? Because they're in a situation they can't control. Because they realize, I can't fix this. I can't fix this. You don't want to be God. I don't want to be God. It might feel good for a few minutes. Well, never mind. I'm not even going to use that example. It's too old. Never mind. It's an old movie. It just makes me sound old. Never mind. But listen. We don't want to be God. We don't want to be God. Because there are situations we can't control. There are answers we don't have. Half the time, especially you teenagers, y'all don't even know what you want. You don't even, like, you're like, oh, I just have so many emotions. I just don't know what to do with them all. Like, you can't even figure out your own emotions. How can you be the God of your life? Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. You don't even know who you like. Or who you're in a fight with, or who you used to date, or like you're just like, you're all confused. You're like, oh my gosh, like my life's so weird, you know? Like, y'all can't be God of your life. I can't be God of my life. I'm not even a good dad. Like, come on, we can't be our own God. We don't have the power, we don't have the answers, we don't know what we want, we always mess up, we often settle for the temporary instead of the eternal. Listen to me. We don't want to be the God of our lives. And you might think you want to for a time. But you'll get to a point where you're like, I need something else. I need another answer. I need someone else to tell me what to do. I've got to depend on someone else. I need some peace. I need some joy. I need some satisfaction. I need some purpose. And if you haven't realized that yet, you will. So I want to ask you the question as we close. Who is Jesus to you? Will he be your Lord or not? Who is Jesus to you? Will he be your Lord or not? If you don't think he's a lunatic, and you don't think he's a liar, there's only one more option. He must be who he said he was. And if he is, we've got a decision to make that your mom can't make for you, that your dad can't make for you, that I can't make for you. Who's he going to be to you? Is he going to be Lord or not? I'm going to do something, and at the risk of feeling like kind of awkward for y'all and for me, we're just going to do it because I just feel like we should do it. So, and I just want y'all to know this is not, if nobody responds to this, it's okay, right? Like, it's not like, it doesn't mean like God's not in control. It's not embarrassing to me. It's just, you know, whatever. But I want to do something. A lot of times we tell you to bow your heads, close your eyes, raise your hand if you want to give your life to Christ. I want to do something else tonight because we're talking about lordship and we're talking about putting ourselves under the authority of God. And so I want to give an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Now, for some of you, it's the very first time. You've never done that before. You might have believed in him. You might have heard about him, but you've never made him Lord. For some of you, you've been following Jesus a long time. But if you're honest with yourself, he's not been your Lord, your master, your owner for quite some time. And the way that you've been making decisions. So I'm gonna, again, this is, we don't always do this, okay? Listen, we don't always do this. Like, this isn't like old school altar call church or anything like that. We don't always do this. But listen, here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna count to three. And then at any time in the next few minutes as I'm talking and praying, I just wanna invite you, if you wanna make Jesus the Lord of your life, either for the first time or a recommitment, I'm gonna invite you to just come down here and kneel at the altar. I know, oh my gosh, that's the most embarrassing thing ever. It's my first time here. Like, this is incredibly awkward. Just go with me here, okay? Just go with me. But if that's you, on the count of three, I'm just gonna ask you to come down here. We're not gonna clap or anything. We're not gonna point people out. They're not the hero Jesus is. But we're just going to bring people down here and they're gonna pray a prayer. And then we're just gonna follow up with you. And again, you might stand up and you're like, oh my gosh, like I've been a Christian for a long time. But if you feel like you need to recommit to making Jesus the Lord of your life, then I wanna invite you to do that. So I'm gonna count to three. And if that's you, I just want you to come up here and kneel at the altar and pray a prayer with me. And again, if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. But I wanted to give the opportunity because I think we need to be bold when we're making Jesus our Lord. So on the count of three, one, two, three. That's you. Just come up here and kneel down. Kneel down. And we're going to pray a prayer. You can pray this prayer with me out loud. You can pray it in the quiet of your heart. All that matters is that you're believing it in your soul. Jesus, I'm yours. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I don't have all the answers, but you do. I believe you are who you say you are. That you died and rose again for me. That you are the Son of God. And I want you to be my Lord, my master. I believe life with you is better than life alone. Be my Lord. In your name.